to another installment of the Nam and Eggs podcast. I'm your host, Rob Namnoom, sports director at KRDO-TV in Colorado Springs, Pueblo. On the Nam and Eggs podcast today, I will help you fill out your bracket for what it's worth. I don't know how much help I'll be, but I love looking over a bracket and deciding which teams are going to advance and which ones are going to reach the Final Four and who's going to win the whole shebang. Also, the Nuggets will do something they haven't done in 6 years. The CC hockey team, they'll do something this weekend that the program has never done. And we'll talk about the Broncos and free agency and some of the moves that John Elway has made. You're loving John Elway again, aren't you? You're loving him. All right. So the Nam and Eggs poll question today has to deal with your men's basketball championship bracket, March Madness. The poll question, pretty simple today, the Nam and Eggs poll question. When it comes to your March Madness bracket, when you're filling it out, do you have Duke or the field? So if you want to answer this poll question, go to my Twitter handle, which is at Rob Namnoom, N-A-M-N-O-U-M, or at my Facebook page, which is Rob Namnoom, K-R-D-O. You can answer the Nam and Eggs podcast poll question, which is, when you're filling out your March Madness bracket, do you have Duke or the field? A lot of people have Duke. So let's start with the bracket. I got my bracket right here. You want to take a snapshot of that for those watching the live stream on my KRDO Facebook page, Rob Namnoom KRDO. All right, so what I like to do is after the bracket comes out, I like to actually fill it out with a pen first before. Now you go online. Back in the day, you'd fill out a bracket, you'd hand it to a guy at work, and you give him the money. By the way, if you have a company, and I know when we're recording this podcast, it's 2 days before it starts. But even if you know absolutely nothing about college basketball, haven't watched anything, you don't know the difference between Duke and Abilene Christian, have one at your work. Doesn't have to be much. It's not like I'm condoning hundreds of dollars of gambling here. It's just good morale for your workers. If you have a company, March Madness brackets are necessary. I know all productivity goes down starting Thursday. Whatever. If you have a job and you're a professional and you're going to get your work done, you know, we're so used to multitasking in our society now. So anyways, so I've got my bracket right here. Okay, there's my bracket, and I'm just going to start on the left side of the bracket, and I'm not going to pick every game, but I'm going to tell you who I like in certain matchups. In the first round, then we'll move to the second round, we'll move to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and the Final Four. All right, so in filling out my bracket, if we were looking at the East region, I've got Central Florida knocking off VCU. That's a 9-8 game. Central Florida's a 9 seed in that one. I've got, here's my upset in the East. I've got Belmont winning the play-in game against Temple. And then I have Belmont beating Maryland. And one of the reasons why I have that is I hate Maryland. I've always have. I don't know why. Gary Williams used to be the head coach of Maryland. Can't stand Maryland. So I picked Belmont. And from what I've heard from other people who are from the Tennessee area, Belmont's got a good team. In fact, I've got Belmont going all the way to the Sweet 16 because in the next round, I have them knocking off LSU. Okay, so there's that East region. We'll go back as I go on. You can follow along at home if you like. And then in the West, I've got Murray State knocking off Marquette. That's a 12-5 game. That tends to happen. Murray State's got some star power. Marquette hasn't played well down the stretch. Therefore, I'm going with Murray State. And then as I go down, Buffalo, they're kind of the darlings of the tournament, which makes me worried. When the selection show comes out, Buffalo is a team that's been talked about. They had some success last year in the NCAA tournament, so I'm going with Buffalo. In fact, I've got Buffalo going all the way to the Sweet 16. I really like what they did in the West. There's some great matchups. You got Nevada and Florida in the first round. I like Nevada in that game. Then you got Michigan and Montana. I like Michigan in that game. But then if you go to the Sweet 16, that's a great matchup between Michigan and Nevada. Nevada's got two guys that are NBA caliber players. They're senior heavy. Eric Musselman is going to be turning down jobs because he's done such a wonderful job in Nevada. He's going to get a good gig after this year. But I just like John Beilein in Michigan. Michigan can shoot the ball well. John Beilein is an outstanding coach. So I like Michigan in that one, going to the Sweet 16. Now let's go on over to the South bracket where I look at that one. I got Mississippi, Oklahoma in the first round. I got Oklahoma beating Mississippi in that one. I've got a lot of upsets when it comes to the South region. I've got UC Irvine knocking off Kansas State. Am I extremely confident about that? No, but I'm going with UC Irvine. I like actually UC Irvine to reach all the way to the Sweet 16 where they'll face Virginia. A lot of people are down on the defending national champs, Villanova. I've got them beating St. Mary's and then beating Purdue to get to the Sweet 16. I love Cincinnati because they play tenacious defense. They swarm the basketball. They're hard-nosed. I've got them going to the Sweet 16. I've got them defeating Tennessee, who's in the South region, as a number two seed. Now, I'm not always confident in Cincinnati because sometimes they play stupid basketball. But I've got them beating Tennessee. For whatever reason, I just don't believe in Tennessee. I know they were ranked at number one for a few weeks during the season. Just not a big believer. And then now we'll go down to the Midwest. You got Utah State taking on Washington. I'm not a big believer in the Pac-12. I like Utah State's team. I think they're solid. They won 28 games this year. I've got them beating Washington and then losing to North Carolina to go on to the Sweet 16. And then another intriguing matchup is I've got Iowa State moving out of the first round beating Ohio State. Then I've got Houston beating Georgia State. I love Houston too. Kelvin Sampson has turned that program around since taking over a couple of years ago. I've got Houston going all the way to the Elite Eight. Watch out for Houston. That's the team I like in the tournament. And then I've got Seton Hall beating Wofford. A lot of people believe in Wofford. I'm going to go with Seton Hall because, again, they've got a lot of seniors. They got some really talented players. They play well as a team. They seem to mesh well, so I got them. All right, so now we've kind of taken you to the Sweet 16. So now let's go to my Elite Eight picks. Out of the East, I've got Duke advancing over Mississippi State. Then I've got Belmont taking on Michigan State. I got Michigan State winning that. So that sets up the Elite Eight matchup, Duke-Michigan State. In the West, I've got Gonzaga beating Florida State to advance to the Elite Eight. And then I've got Michigan taking on Buffalo, and with Michigan moving on to the Elite Eight. And then on the South bracket, I've got Virginia taking on UC Irvine with Virginia moving on to the South Elite Eight. And then I've got Villanova taking on Cincinnati. I like Villanova taking on Virginia in the Elite Eight. And I've got North Carolina in the Midwest taking on Houston for the Elite Eight. So my Elite Eight teams are Duke, Michigan State, Gonzaga, Michigan, Virginia, Villanova, North Carolina, and Houston. Okay, so coming out of the East to go to the Final Four, and I love Tom Izzo. This is his time of year. He always gets teams to play well this time of year. They always play their best basketball. Unfortunately, they're going to play Duke. Now, the thing about Duke this year is they are not your typical Duke teams. They don't really shoot the basketball as well as they've done in the past, which I think will actually help them in the tournament because if their shot's not falling, they're more than capable of driving to the basket and making things happen. So I've got Duke going to the Final Four, got Gonzaga taking on Michigan, I got Michigan going to the Final Four, and then in the South bracket, I got Virginia taking on Villanova, and I've got Villanova knocking off Virginia. I know a lot of people don't believe in Villanova as a sixth seed, but Jay Wright's been there. He was a coach at Pittsburgh. He could never get their teams to the Final Four. He had trouble at Villanova early on getting his teams to the Final Four. But now Jay Wright, the head coach of the Wildcats, has been there, done that. He understands the NCAA tournament and how it works and how you get your team to the Final Four. That's why I've got Nova coming out of the South for the Final Four. And then in the Midwest, got North Carolina taking on Houston. I like North Carolina going to the Final Four. So my Final Four teams are Duke, Michigan, Villanova, and North Carolina. So I got Duke paired up with Michigan. I like Duke in that one. And then you got Nova taking on North Carolina. I like North Carolina in that. And this comes as no surprise. I never do this when it comes to picking teams and picking my March Madness bracket, but I'm going with Duke to beat North Carolina 73-72 to win the national championship on April 8th. So there you have it. I've got Duke winning it all, and yeah, that's kind of lame. Although I like some of my picks getting there. And that's what, if you're going to fill out your bracket and you're going to pick Duke, you've got to pick some teams that people aren't picking if you want to win your bracket. So there you go. That's Rob Namnoom's take on my March Madness bracket. I'll probably have to rip it up by Saturday. All right, so let's talk about the Denver Nuggets now. Tied for the top spot in the West with the mighty Golden State Warriors. And last night they did something that they haven't done in 6 years. They clinched a playoff spot. They haven't been in the playoffs in 6 years since the 2013-2014 season. And Mike Malone is the coach of the year in the NBA. He's just done a fantastic job with his team. His players love him. I mean, he tells Isaiah Thomas, look, once the playoffs come, you're not going to be part of the rotation. And Isaiah Thomas is still out there when he's getting the opportunity to play, playing hard, not sulking, and he's looking for his next opportunity. Good for him. So the Nuggets look like they're going to be the 2 seed, maybe the 1, but more than likely the 2 seed, which will pair them up with the Jazz or the Clippers, possibly, maybe the Spurs. I'm just hoping it's the Clippers. The Jazz scare me a little bit. I think that could be a team that could push the Nuggets to 7 games. And the Spurs, well, they got Coach Pop, and that always makes me a little bit nervous. But Mike Malone, last night they played the Celtics in Boston, right? He just found this little wrinkle in the Celtics defense. The Celtics play great perimeter defense, not so good inside. All Will Barton was doing was finding some holes in the paint. The Joker, doing what he does, passes in the ball for easy baskets. I mean, simple basketball. Mike Malone has done a great job because he's got a lot of talent on that roster, and it's not easy massaging egos in the NBA, but he's got some guys buying into their minutes. I mean, Monte Morris isn't playing as much as he once was, but if Monte Morris comes off the bench and runs the point, I know I'm confident in that kid. Doesn't turn the basketball over. He's smart. Always makes the right basketball decision. So it's going to be fun. The Nuggets playing basketball, meaningful basketball in the month of April and hopefully into May too. I think they could, as many people predict and project, the Nuggets should be able to make a run to the Western Conference Finals. They're not better than the Warriors. No one is. But this is valuable experience for a young basketball team, for the Joker, for Jamal Murray, for Gary Harris. Paul Millsap's healthy now. We're seeing what he can do. If he can give them a double-double every time he's on the floor, man, watch out for the Nuggets. Who knows? All right, and our Colorado College hockey team. They will do something this weekend they have not done ever in program history. They're going to be playing in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. Now, I know the NCHC hasn't been around for 100 years, but this is monumental for the program and getting them back to where they once were. I mean, they beat a very good Western Michigan team last night. They took 2 out of 3. They had all kinds of excuses they could have used. You know, that series was supposed to start on Friday. Mechanical failure to planes. You know, the weather. They couldn't get out of Colorado Springs. It was an absolute logistic nightmare. And yet, they won the game on Friday. Kind of got a hand to them a little bit on Saturday. Or Sunday, pardon me. And then last night, Alex LeClaire made 32 saves. And in that first period, they fired a lot of rubber on him. But he did not back down. And he's the reason why they're moving on. So CC will take on St. Cloud State on Friday afternoon. And St. Cloud State is a juggernaut. They are a team nobody has been able to figure out this year. In fact, CC has lost to them 3 times. 2 of them were close games. They picked up a tie at St. Cloud in early February. Nobody has even gotten points against them at their building, in their barn. And yet CC has done that. And for weeks on end, I would talk to Coach Havlin, I would talk to the players, and all they would say to me is, we're so close to being a good hockey team. We're so close, we're so close, we're so close. And we saw it this week. We've seen it actually for the better part of 5 weeks. They've played some great hockey. So Trevor Cooch and Alex LeClaire, after last night's win, talked about their upcoming matchup with the number 1 team in the land.
We know we got our work cut out for us, though. You know, we just got to focus up this week, focus on St. Cloud, and then, you know, go on from there. But, yeah, I think emotions are high right now, and we're going to try and ride it as long as we can.
I live by the motto that everything happens for a reason, and maybe the reason why we lost those games is that we weren't exactly on the top of our games for the full 60 minutes, but we know we learned from that, and that's what we're going to do in the next weekend.
Colorado College goalie Alex Clare talking about their upcoming matchup this Friday with St. Cloud State. Now, it's spring break for the Tigers, so they're not even coming back to Colorado Springs. They're just going to stay in Chicago for a couple of days, and then they're going to bus on up to St. Paul, and they're going to play in the frozen faceoff of the NCHC tournament. Pretty cool for the Fly guys. So good luck to them. There's no reason why they can't beat St. Cloud State. They only have to beat them once. And they're more than capable. Their younger players still have fresh legs. Ben Copeland, you know, they've just been playing some really good hockey. Brian Yoon is a talented defenseman for the Colorado College hockey team. Grant Cruikshank, gosh, he's been playing well as well. So the young guys are getting some valuable experience. A lot of what I talked about just moments ago in the Nuggets. When you're young, you need some playoff experience, and it only help you down the line. All right, let's talk about the Broncos and some of the moves they've made during free agency. Now, last Friday, Joe Flacco was introduced to Broncos country. And the thing that has been missing, besides leadership, since Peyton Manning has retired, is a self-assured guy at quarterback. And Joe Flacco is a self-assured guy. Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, not self-assured. In fact, Trevor Siemian and Case Keenum both tried to be guys they're not. And that doesn't work out in life. Be who you are. We never even got to see what Case Keenum is, you know, could possibly do playing quarterback. Was it wrong system for him? It just didn't work. You know, that was a guy who needs to move around so he can see some passing lanes a little bit. It just didn't work. Joe Flacco comes in on Friday and he says, I'm the guy. I am the guy. Trevor Siemian tried to be the, you know, bland, boring guy. And that's not his personality. From all accounts, he's got a great personality, a sharp wit. You know, was not a leader. Guys didn't look at him like, oh, that's our guy. Paxton Lynch didn't put in the work, would rather play Fortnite. He's not the guy. Case Keenum was more worried about, oh, why is this attention on me? I want to deflect it, you know. Nice guy, just not your guy to play quarterback. Joe Flacco's 34 years old. John Elway has given up on trying to find a guy in the draft. He wants an established player. And Joe Flacco joked, I'm 34 years old, but Tom Brady is making it easy for everyone to play till they're 60.
Listen.
He just had that gleam in his eye. He's excited to be with the Broncos organization. He even said he and his wife were driving in the car. He received a phone call, and within 30 seconds, he realized he was going to Denver, and he was excited. And Vic Fangio, when they brought him in for his physical the night before, brought him up to his hotel room. They talked for hours. He finally had to kick Flacco out. He was so excited. They're not even starting OTAs till April 2nd. And this guy is excited for an opportunity. He said he was miserable last year backing up Lamar Jackson. Said absolutely miserable. Wanted to play. You know, he had that hip issue. That could be something that could cause some problems for Joe Flacco. But he says he's healthy. So this is Joe Flacco from last Friday just talking about how excited he is to be the quarterback of the Broncos.
Listen, I've been in the league long enough that to know success is nothing but winning football games. I don't care if you're a young team, if you think you're rebuilding. You know, you go win 6, 7, 8 games, that's not success. I don't care. You know, like I said, I don't care what the expectations were from people. At some point, everybody's real expectations are to go win games and be in the playoffs. And then from there, see what happens and go win a Super Bowl. And, you know, that's what everybody's trying to do. And that's what I'm trying to do the rest of my career is win the Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco, the newest quarterback of the Denver Broncos. I know we go through this every year, but, you know, he can play under center. The Broncos have a running attack. They've shored up their line a little bit. They got, I'll tell you, they picked up Jawan James from the Dolphins. What an impressive specimen he is. Woo! He also was there on Friday. He was introduced to Broncos Nation along with cornerback Kareem Jackson, formerly of the Houston Texans. But Jawan James, that is 6'6", about 3'10", athletic looking. By the way, Joe Flacco is a good looking guy. Did not know that in person. I was, you know, I'm a happily married man, but Joe Flacco's a good looking dude. So not only did Elway get the guy he wanted, he kind of looks the part. You know, the good quarterbacks are usually good-looking guys, right? Jared Goff, Tom Brady. I know it doesn't help on the field, but I didn't realize Joe Flacco was such a handsome man. Anyway, so now the Broncos have addressed. Boy, Broncos country went nuts on Friday night when they found out Bryce Callahan, formerly of the Bears, who played for Vic Fangio, the corner, who had a great year last year. Actually, the Broncos kind of got him out of bargain basement, if you ask me. 3 years. $21 million after the season he had. Had a couple of sacks. He had like 28 passes defense last year for the Bears. Can play in the slot. So now you don't have to put Chris Harris in the slot. You got Kareem Jackson who can play safety and corner. So now you got two guys that can help out in covering tight ends. Now you don't have to put Justin Simmons there. You tell Justin Simmons, you're a safety. Last year, when the Broncos were really thin in their secondary, and let's face it, had no depth whatsoever, Simmons was, you know, covering guys in the slot, and he was having a hard time. Just not his game. He's a good safety, cerebral player back there. Just not his game. And John Elway said, look, our approach to free agency is fix our glaring needs. And here was John Elway talking last Friday about how the Broncos have addressed their needs and still will continue to, and their approach towards the draft at the end of April.
You know, our philosophy has always been try to, you know, take care of the glaring holes in free agency and that where it opens us up and, you know, in the draft where we don't have to draft for need, we can draft for football players. And so, you know, it opens us up quite a bit. You know, we feel like, there's going to be a lot of good football players at 10. We'll get through this free agency period, and then once we get back in April, start working in the draft and, you know, set the draft board. So, but we feel like it gives us a lot of different options, with that 10th pick, as well as, you know, the second and third, you know, we're at the top of those rounds. So we feel like a lot of good football players that we can.
John Elway talking about the Broncos and having the 10th overall pick in the draft at the end of April. I think this has been one of – hey, look, you can always win the offseason, right? Doesn't really matter what you do in March as far as, like, you know, from an excitement standpoint because you're not playing football. But he's improved their roster. It seems like Vic Fangio really has his ear because he's gotten some guys I don't think Elway would have gone after in years past. Definitely not Jawan James. The Broncos really haven't gone after an offensive lineman with so much potential. You talk to Dolphins fans, and they're saying this guy's a stud. They also re-signed Zach Kerr. They've re-signed Shelby Harris. They have Derek Wolfe. So that D-line is going to be good. I mean, the Broncos' defense wasn't bad last year. They didn't have a whole lot of depth. Now, you know, Josie Jewell takes Brandon Marshall's spot. Does he take that next step from his rookie year to his sophomore year? That's some questions the Broncos have in linebacker, but again, they've got the 10th overall pick, and it looks like they're going to go cornerback, but maybe they don't have to now. Or maybe they move around in the draft, and they also have high draft picks in the second and third round, and Elway has found some gems in those rounds as well. Not so much in the first round, but the later rounds, it seems that John Elway and the Broncos brass have done well. So the Broncos will begin organized training activities on April 2nd, and that's where we'll get to see Joe Flacco in his shiny new Broncos jersey. And now, the Rockies, they're going to be close to wrapping up spring training here. only 9 days away from their season opener against the Miami Marlins. They'll, of course, they'll start their season on the road, and then they'll have their home opener against the Dodgers on April 5th. I'm excited for the Rockies as well. So from now until like the end of April, one of my favorite times of the year when it comes to sports, because you have the NFL draft, the baseball season starts, the NBA playoffs start, you've got March Madness, and then the Stanley Cup playoffs as well, which the Avs have a long hill to climb if they're going to get into the playoffs. But stranger things have happened. If they don't make the playoffs, I think it's an underachieving year for the Colorado Avalanche. But from now until the end of April, one of my favorite times of the sports year, because there's just playoff this, playoff that, the start of baseball, spring, you know, you're inching towards the summer. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan. Well, I appreciate you downloading this installment of the Nam and Eggs podcast. I hope I helped you out, fill out your March Madness bracket if you're going to listen to this podcast before that gets going. Again, the Nam and Eggs poll question of the day. When you're filling out your March Madness bracket, do you take Duke or the field? I want to thank everybody for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank my main man, the producer of the Nam and Eggs podcast, TJ Gerzina, the man behind the glass, making me sound velvety smooth. All right, enjoy March Madness, and we'll do this again real soon. That's it. That's another installment of the Nam and Eggs podcast. I'm Rob Namnoom. Have a good week.